welcome to our podcast of the week. We are ambassadors at John Molson Women in Leadership. And today we will be interviewing for our podcast, Gabriella, who was herself an ambassador for John Molson Women in Leadership. So thank you for coming today, Gabriella. So the first question we'll be asking you today for our podcast is, can you tell us about yourself and describe a brief background?
Yeah, so great having, thank you for having me, Ashley, and all of the entire JMWL team. My name is Gabriella. I work currently as a talent acquisition specialist at Coveo, which is a B2B SaaS company. I started as an intern in May 2021. I was just a recruitment intern. I worked there for 4 months, and then my internship got extended. And then since January 22, so since the beginning of this year, I work specifically on the campus team for everything that's campus recruitment, internship initiatives, and also internship experience related things. So that's pretty much like what I do day to day. I'm also a recent JMSB grad. I graduated like this past December, so it's pretty fresh and recent. My major was HR. I changed back and forth several times, which we could kind of talk about later on, and things that I typically like doing. I'm a big sports person all around. I love team sports in general. I also like reading a bunch of books just on my desk right now. I see a bunch of books that are surrounded by. I just love books in general, topics related to motivation, personal development. And my favorite podcast host is Jay Shetty. I felt like I had to mention that. So that is a little bit about me. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Our next question here was, what was one of your biggest challenges throughout your university path and tips on overcoming this challenge?
Yeah. This is a really good question. Honestly, for me, and I feel like a lot of people will struggle with this, it was like deciding on a career that is fulfilling and rewarding. To be honest, a lot of the close friends that I have, even now to this day, and when starting at university, they just went into finance and accounting. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that. It was just the typical route. And they were always questioning me and asking me, well, why aren't you doing that? And I was like, because it's not fulfilling, at least for what I want to achieve kind of as in a goal. So if I have anything to say about that, it's that you shouldn't choose a field for the opportunity that exists, but rather build the opportunities in the thing that interests you. So that's kind of why I started out doing my HR. I basically went back and forth in marketing a couple of times. I took marketing classes. I thought it was something that I really wanted to do, but after some reflection, and luckily I got experience in HR, I realized that it was something that I wanted to do. So the biggest challenge for me was, you know, sticking to a program and not just following the kind of path. Like university is really the point in your life, even as a student, where like now I'm 23, but when I started university, I was 19, and it was so difficult for me to detach from a lot of people I was close to and just build my own career based on things that I was passionate about, based on things that I thought I was good at, and based on things that interest me. And it was different from the rest of the path. I had people question me about why I was going into HR and the kind of, you know, career that I can get out of it. But I was confident in the interest that I had in the opportunity and not just going into a field because of the opportunities that exist in there. So yeah.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah, as students, we're always a bit confused with what path to follow. It can be a bit overwhelming at times. The next question here is, did you know from the start what field you wanted to work in?
The answer is no. I changed multiple times in high school. I really wanted to be a nurse. That transitioned into college as well. I was in high school. I really liked science. I was also good in it. But I kind of had a change of heart halfway through CJEP, and I decided, you know, I'm going to stick towards business because I just felt like there were more opportunities in that, and it just really resonated with me. And I was really like the people side of business, so almost like organizational behavior, which is, you know, a big part of HR basically. So the answer is no, I didn't always know what I wanted to do. I think that people actually don't know what they want to do until they try it. And one of the things that I always actually heard this in a podcast, believe it or not, but you have to ask yourself three questions, three very basic, simple questions to decide like what you want to do, or if you're struggling and you're not sure. It's a podcast by Rob Dial. He's very famous in terms of like personal development and stuff like that. What do you like? What are you good at? And what do you want to learn more about? So if you don't really like anything, or, you know, you're kind of like a bit all over the place, okay, then go to the next one. What are you good at? If you're a jack of all trades, you're not specifically good or stand out in one particular domain, then ask yourself, what do you want to learn more about? When you're not working or in school, what do you spend your time doing? If the answer to that is reading, maybe a psychology book, okay, well, there's your answer. if your answer to that is helping people out with their personal fitness and just coaching and teaching, maybe that's your answer to that. You know, I've helped like a bunch of, I work in campus recruitment. So a bunch of students always ask me, they're not sure. And I always give this example. What do you like? If someone likes talking to people, you know, keep it simple. I like to talk to people. Okay, great. What are you good at? I'm good with numbers and data and just solving problems. Okay, cool. So then you put those two things together. What do you want to learn more about? And then people would be like, I really like strategy of a company and, you know, analyzing things and problems that a business may have. So I would sit there and be like, okay, that kind of sounds like consulting. That sounds like that's something that would be good for you, right? So asking yourself those basic three questions could definitely help iron out all of the possibilities of not knowing what you kind of want to go into.
Great. As a student, I find that really interesting. And the last question on my part here is, you were part of JMWL and you were part of JMHR, John Molson Human Resources Management, JHMA. So how did these contribute to your university experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. It elevated my university experience in a way because I was forced to get out of my comfort zone. It was really the first time where, even though I wasn't working, I wasn't necessarily getting paid. I was forced to do things that I've never done before, like contact sponsors and host help with events and marketing as well. So all these things exposed me to kind of different like possibilities that exist out there. Also, it shifted my perception of what a good university experience should be. I had a lot more respect. I had a lot more, you know, understanding of the other associations, all the associations at JMSB, and how much work they put into hosting events and doing workshops and webinars. And the last thing, it really helped with time management and priorities. I was super difficult in terms of like scheduling and time management and priorities. To be able to be a part of this helped in that way. It helped a lot with my soft skills, I have to say. It helped build those soft skills. It helped build some of the most foundational things that pretty much any employer would require of you. Yeah, for sure.
Great, thank you. So for the next questions, I'll just be passing it off to Nya, who will prescribe.
So what is one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That's a great question. To be honest, yeah, I'm still asking myself that question now, because as I mentioned earlier, I just graduated university. But one thing that really scared me, I almost had imposter syndrome when kind of starting work, because I'm not a student anymore. I'm, you know, full-time kind of contributor where I work. But one thing is that it's okay not to know things. It's okay not to know everything. And it's okay to make those concerns known. There's a lot of the people that you work with in school pretty much are all in the same bubble. They're all around the same age. They all have the same experiences as you. So you're pretty much stuck in that same bubble and you don't really see out there what else is in the world. The people that I've met in the last 3 months have given me advice, have taught me things more than I have in the last, I don't know, 5 years of my life, pretty much. The amount of growth that I've experienced in the last 3 months at my job has been immense and insane. So I think that something that I would have known is that it's okay not to know things. It's okay to ask. I'm asking people all the time at work questions. And there's no shame in that. I want to share a quote. Again, I'm going to mention Jay Shetty again, but I actually just finished reading his book. The arrogant ego desires respect. The humble worker inspires respect. I'm going to repeat that again. He said, the arrogant ego desires respect. The humble worker inspires respect. I don't care who you are, what your background is. Put your ego aside and say, it's okay that you don't know this certain thing. People out there are actually willing to help you. I learned that. People with much experience are actually willing to help you and invest in your career. If you choose to invest in yourself first, other people will respect you for that. Yeah.
Oh, I really love that. So the second one is, what are the skills or experience on your CV that has helped you got the job that you have now?
Yeah, that's a great question. To be honest, what helped me get my job now was my internship. I feel like my general advice as a campus recruiter to anyone who is either graduating soon is to maybe start out as an internship. One, because it has less commitment than full-time. You can kind of test out for a couple of months whether or not you really feel that that certain position or company is fit for you. But I would say a lot of the volunteer work that I did helped me get to where I needed to be. To be honest, I didn't have, like, I've had other jobs in the past, but not related to HR or recruitment or other parts of HR. So that was really my selling point when I got my internship. And then because I was there for 8 months, the transition was, you know, seamless. And it was kind of a no-brainer for me. But for anyone who's kind of struggling or they're not exactly sure, an internship is a great way to start. Either way, employers know that interns are there to learn, get as much information as they can. So as long as you showcase that and you communicate that towards a potential employer, that's pretty much really what they're looking for, especially for an intern.
So that brings me to my next question then. Like, what are some fundamental skills that we must have as new workers entering the workforce? Yeah.
That's a good question. I actually thought a lot about this because there's different ways to answer it. In terms of hard skills, or what at JMSBB call hard or technical skills, it really depends on the industry or position that you're kind of trying to go into. But in terms of, I guess, soft skills, which are, you know, the same across the board, there's a few things. So I would start by personal leadership and responsibility. Again, I read this in a book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. Responsibility yeah. means the ability to choose your response. It's really important in the workforce to show that you are responsible for the actions that you take and you're able to explain why you came to a certain conclusion and decision, and not just because that might slide in school and not exactly, you know, knowing or not doing the work at 100% in a group project or et cetera, but in the workforce, that will not fly. You have to be able to take responsibility and be conscious of your choices. This shows leadership, it shows integrity, it shows that you're a full-time great contributor to the team and to the organization, and they will have massive respect for you. That's one thing. Take responsibility for your actions and your decisions. The second thing I would say would be, like, just properly articulating your thoughts in clearly and in oral. A lot of people confuse this, or a lot of people say, like, it's great to have good communication. Good communication means that you properly articulate exactly what you want to say. That way there's no confusion. That way, you know, it's important to, language is a huge part of communication. It's essential. You know, when I kind of started my job, even a few months ago, I was kind of like, I'm not really good with numbers. I'm not a data person. And we had to work on a data project that involved, like, Excel, knowing Excel well, not just, you know, making pretty graphs and some other data visualization tools that I've heard of course, but I've never used, you know, like Tableau and Power BI and stuff, which maybe some BTM students touch upon briefly. But even at that, it was a bit more intense than that. So I kept saying, like, I'm not good with numbers. I'm not good with data. And it was like, that was closing me off so much. The problem is the language that I was using. I wasn't articulating myself properly. I should have said, you know, maybe I'm not really good with data, but, like, I'm willing to learn, or maybe I'm not really good at data, but I can help somewhere else in the project. You know, like, where else do you need me, or how else can my skill set, like, off balance for the heavy data side? Like, is there a presentation side that I could help with? So that's another thing that I would say is really important. You need to properly articulate what you're going to say and have clear, like, thoughts, basically, because or else you'll just be confused and it won't be kind of good in the end. But another last thing that I want to say, you need to be resilient and innovative. In HR, we learn that resilient organizations are organizations that survive. We learned this, I believe, in one of the last MANA classes, if you're in HR management. But an organization to survive needs to be resilient and innovative, but it also is encompassed by people. So the people themselves in the company need to have that resilient and innovative mindset. That's one thing that if you don't have that, like, basically the company won't survive. But not only that, you know, you need open-minded people who are going to ask the right questions. There's so many quotes that say that life is about finding answers and everything. You will never find the answer if you don't know the question that you're asking. So those are the three kind of things that I want to cover in terms of soft skills. Personal leadership and responsibility being the first, properly articulating your thoughts and being clear and concise. And the third thing that I would say would be being resilient and innovative in your mind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. And thank you for all the wonderful insights. So that brings us to our last question. As a woman in the workplace, was it hard for you to build, like, your career? So any obstacles you faced, and if you have faced them, then what are some tips to overcome those obstacles?
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, the field that I work in right now is, like, HR in general, very historically, I'm going to use the word historically or statistically, is dominated by females. But I do work in a tech company, and I would say that the vast majority of the people that I have to interact with on a daily basis, software engineering students or computer science engineering students, again, historically been more male dominated kind of field and area. So I do struggle with this. It's more of a kind of personal insecurity that I have of not knowing like all the terms that they use, or, you know, just now starting to read maybe one line of code and understanding very briefly what they're saying. But again, the way that I deal with this is by asking questions, like kind of like how I mentioned before. I don't have any experience where I had to, where the profession that I work in as a day-to-day job, I struggle with this. It's more of an industry kind of struggle that I have with it. So it's making your concerns used. And I would also say another thing is actually finding a mentor who can help. Mm-hmm. Finding somebody else like in your field or in your industry. Like, for example, I work in HR, but I'm also interested in technology. And I didn't even know that I was interested in technology till a few weeks into my internship, where there were so many resources out there to really like learn and, you know, get in touch with technology. So finding a mentor can definitely help. As well. But I do want to say that, you know, diversity should be celebrated everywhere. Don't kind of look at that person as your ally. I look at the men that I work with as my allies. They're my allies. We're one team. We accomplish different things, but we work together to solve the main issues. And having mentors definitely helps, you know, ease the kind of transitions and pain points there. So yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to say.
I love that. So that was my last question. So to wrap this up, do you have any advice you want to give our audience in terms of career-wise or personal? Like, I know you give a lot more. Like, it was really wonderful, all those insights. But any last words to our audience?
Yes, I do want to say something. I just want to say that a lot of people, to be successful, like, I don't care what you're doing with your life. I don't care if you're a graphic designer. I don't care if you're walking dogs. Choose education over entertainment. That doesn't mean go get a PhD and go, you know, be a psychiatrist and go be the next Jordan Peterson. That's not what I'm asking you. But I'm saying choose education over entertainment. If you're bored, this, don't scroll through it. Don't, you know, watch 10 hours of TV. Pick up a book. Like, I'm not even kidding. I have this book right next to me. Pick up a book and start reading. You don't know what to read about? Great. Look at current events in the news. That's what I kind of started doing. What's popular out there? What's new out there? What could I learn? Ask yourself every single day, how can you actually become better for tomorrow? Right? So for some people, it's exercise. For some people, it's working out. They're not working out because they're going to have a six pack tomorrow. They're working out because they might have a six pack in a year or 2 years from now. Continuous improvement is the key to self-efficacy. So you need to do that by education over entertainment. That's what I want to say in closing.
Well, thank you for that.